presence of God in this house. Hallelujah. I said, how many are feeling the presence of God in this house? Hallelujah. Are you grateful for the presence of God? The creator of the universe is here right now to do a greater work inside of us. We're coming out of Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. If you have the strength to stand, it is our custom to stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. We're going to read first out of Isaiah 64, verse 8, then Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. But now, everyone say now. O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter. And we all, I'm going to say all, are the work of thy hand. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work. I want to say a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. I want to talk to you just for a little while here this morning. And let you know, he's making you. He's making you. Father, in the name of Jesus, there is an awesome presence in this room right now. And with all of my heart, I believe this message is for someone who's been broken today. Someone who's wearied with life, scarred by circumstances, wearied by the trouble around them. But there's a message that you've given, and I pray it would be received by all of us. I pray, oh God, your word that's already anointed would land on good ground, and that we'd receive an impartation that would empower us never to be the same. Because I believe with all my heart, when the word of God is revealed in our hearts and our minds, it's impossible to be the same. Amen. So change us, empower us, equip us, and grow us this morning. And we will look at the enemy and say, God's hand is on my life. There's nothing you can do with me. Hallelujah. Are we the hands of God this morning? Are we the hands of Almighty God this morning? Well, let the will of God be done today. Let your will be done today. Let your will be done today. Now someone clap your hands and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Lift your voices in this house. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Living in a world, a culture, and a system that wants to deny the very existence of God. Places eager eyes within the people of God then to want to see God and his will unfold in their lives in order to combat and to then resist that notion that there is no God. We all want to have personal proof to resist that notion that God is not real or that he does not care about us. We all want to say for ourselves that the hand of God is truly on my life. Not cliche, not just wishful thinking, not because I belong to a certain church or an organization, but I can stand on my own two feet and know and say with my own testimony that God truly is real. As we are looking for God here, week in and week out, to be working things out for our good, the enemy comes in and around us and evaluates the process that God has put us in. And he twists our thinking. He twists our thoughts to be something that God never intended. The enemy comes in and looks at what may be your current situation in life and paint a picture that would seem to actually validate that God could not be real. Nor could he really care about me if I am going through what I am going through. Again, if you are here in this house and you have no problems and you have no pain and you have no circumstances that you're dealing right now, I'm sorry, this message may not be for you. But for those that sometimes question life and question the things that we're facing and question God, do you really care? That I believe God has something he wants to impart in your spirit today, and that is a problem. The enemy is always trying to make things be either or. He tries to put you and God in an either or box or an either or mentality. Either you are exactly where you want to be in God, or God does not care about you, is what the devil wants to put in your ear. Either you are on top of the mountain, or God does not care about you if you are in a valley. Either you are in a high place, or God just can't help you. So instead of praising him for the process he has put you in, you find yourself fighting for your faith, fighting just to keep faith, fighting to keep joy, and fighting to keep your spirits up. And you internally question, am I exactly where God wants me to be, even though I feel constant resistance, constant pressure, and constant floods of problems in my life, the heat in all type of forms coming and burning my way? It finds you wondering if you're ever going to quote unquote feel that he cares about you and what you are dealing with. But the Lord has put me and given me assignment this morning to tell someone here today that he is making someone to be all that he has designed you to be, and that he is not limited by an either or mentality, because he is a God of impossibilities. He He's a God that can turn anything around. He's saying, you cannot put me in a place where it's either this way or that way. I'll work up, down, sideways, and in between. I'm a God that has no limitations. I'm a God that has all power in my hand. I'm a God that can do absolutely anything. Does anybody believe that you are serving a God that has all power in his hand? If you are going to learn how to walk in the will and the favor of God, you got to know you serve a big God. You have to know that your God is the greatest source of power that there is. And nothing can throw him off. Nothing is too hard for him. That he has a plan that cannot be thrown off, even in the middle of what you and I mess up. God is not limited by your mistakes. God is not limited by your shortcomings. God is not limited by your inconsistencies and your failures. The devil is a liar. God says, I'm still going to show you how I'm still making you, even though sometimes you can't make yourself do right. You can't make yourself be right. And the devil will try to disqualify you. But I'm somebody that calls you. And if I call you, I will qualify you. I will tell you that you are all right with me because I am outside of you and my power is not subjected to your limitations. Anybody hear what I'm saying? God says my power is isolated from your good or your bad. I'm just good all by myself. I just want to do things for my own sake. And so if you are here right now on the sound of my voice, can I tell you without a shadow of a doubt, God's making you, God's molding you, and God says, I have a great plan for your life, and nothing can pluck you out of my hand. He has already taken into account what you're facing. We don't think that way. We think it's a surprise to God because it's a surprise to us. We think God's caught off guard because we're caught off guard. We think God doesn't have the answer because we don't have the answer. But let me tell you, God is greater than we are. His ways are above our ways, and his thoughts are above our thoughts. And so when he says, I'm going to bless you, he's already seen the mess you made and still say, I'm still going to bless you. He's already seen how you tore up what he had in store, and he still says, that ain't going to stop me. That ain't going to inhibit me. I'm still going to do what I said I was going to do. Because maybe this year was a tough year for you. Maybe this year you look back and say, man, I messed up on God. Can I tell you, he's still making you, molding you. He's already took in account your failures. He's already took in account your mistakes and say, I'm still going to do what I said I was going to do. Are you glad about the God that you serve this morning? In fact, I am going to allow your mistakes and what you're facing to be a part of the process of getting the finished product that I desire. I'm telling you, I can shout all day long on that statement by itself. Because there's been too many whispering lies telling me it's too late. There's been too many whispering lies telling me you missed your shot, you missed your chance, you missed your opportunity. And I hear God saying, no, 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 I'm just getting started. I'm going to show my glory in a failure. I'm going to show my glory in a mistake. I'm going to show my glory in the midst of a mess. I'm a God that will get glory out of any life, out of any vessel, out of anybody. God can do something Even if you marred it, even if you messed it up, I serve a God of hope. I have hope when trouble comes my way. I have hope no matter what comes my way. I have hope, oh yeah, when Jesus is my helping hand. I have hope, it's a beautiful hope that sets me free. He takes all that you are, all that you are currently dealing with, all that has gone in your past, and through it all, he says something that he told his disciples in Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. Matthew 4, 19, he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. God is talking about taking you through a process to make you what he wants you to be. You have your past. You have your old way. You have your mentality. You have all your hang-ups. But if you can make up in your mind to be a follower of Jesus and leave all of your nets and all of your past behind, Jesus says, if you follow me, I'm going to make something of you that you could not make of yourself. You will never be able to do it without me. But if you make up in your mind to follow me, I'm going to make you something special. I'm going to make you something great. I'm about taking you as my own through a process for you to know who you really are in relationship to who you are in me. God wants us to get an understanding of what we are and what we're going through is in connection of what he ultimately wants to make of us. Every one of you has a story. Every one of you has a story to tell. But you got to put that story in God's lens, in God's frame of mind, in God's view, and then say, God has to be making me. God wants to make something out of me. God wants to make something of me. So then it is vital then to understand what's going on in our opening scripture. It says, thou art our Father. The psalmist was pointing out something so critical in our study about understanding of God. He places emphasis on clarifying that God is our Father. The term Father denotes Creator. The Father denotes someone who made us. And when I think about the Creator, I think of someone who designs and who forms and who intends and who plans and who says, there's something certain that I am making you for. There's something that I have purposed you for in my work of creation. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, or the clay of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I want you to pay close attention to that word formed. He spoke other things into existence because he's that kind of a creative and all-powerful God that he could say, let there be light, and there was light. He allowed the world to be separated from the firmament and the waters, and he separated the night from the day. He separated, praise God, the water from the land, and he formed all kind of things with his mouth. But there came a point in time, he said, I must slow down a little bit and go down to the ground that I created and put my hands on a dirty lump of clay. And I'm not just going to speak to it, I'm going to put my hands on it, because I want the angels and everyone around to know that this is something that I am forming and I'm fashioning for a great purpose. And so I'm not going to just speak into it, I am going to touch it. Put my hands on it. And this is what he says in Jeremiah 29:11 concerning that. For I know the thoughts that I think, towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. There is no surprises when God puts his hand upon you. There is no surprise when God is wooing and drawing and calling you and pulling you towards his purpose and pulling you towards his will. It's not a surprise in his hand. It is the potter who internally thinking about what he wants the final product to look like. Now when the potter is forming that thing, when you're watching him, you don't know what he is making. You don't know what he's creating, but it's already in the mind of the creator. Before he ever fashions it or comes to the finished product, he's saying, I already see what ultimately it's going to be. I know you can't see it right now. That's why sometimes you better not judge anybody. Don't you open your mouth against anybody. The hand of the potter is still molding them, still making them, still correcting them and shaping them. What I would do is say, God, keep on working on me. If you're not done yet, let me be all that was in your mind. That lets me know he's not done with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. It still is in his mind. And he says, I got a great expected end for you. Now, his thoughts are good thoughts. In other words, God's intentions for you are good. His expected end means that there's a hopeful and anticipated ending for you. Can I be clear? It doesn't mean or matter how you started this race. If he has an understanding of what the ending should look like, and it is a beautiful, expected, and loving end, not of evil, but of good. That means if I have not started off right, if I have not done everything right along the way, if I was even born into sin, hey, that's not his final thoughts towards us. Even though I might have strayed away, even though I might have cursed God here and there, failed God here and there, not given my very best here and there, I can tell somebody a word of hope. That's not his final thoughts towards you. You might be like that right now, but that's not his final thoughts towards you. You might have slipped and fell right now, but that's not how he finally looks at you. He looks at you by the blood of the Master Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's why he calls his prophet Jeremiah. Now I thought about it. I said, God, why did you call Jeremiah to be the prophet that speaks on these terms when there are all other prophets in the Word of God that might have been more suited for this type of context? But if you understand the book of Jeremiah, about time Jeremiah came around, the whole country was backslid. Not one person was converted. Not one person repented. Not one person would turn to God and make things right with God under Jeremiah's ministry. So in my opinion, the last person that should be speaking this word of promise should be Jeremiah. But on the contrary, it's not a picture of Jeremiah. It's a picture of God. That God can look at the worst generation of his people. Y'all ain't hearing me this morning. God can look at the biggest reprobates, the most lost of all of Israel was in the book of Jeremiah. The most mistaken, the most messed up. And the most loss was in the time of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had to weep. And Jeremiah had to cry. Because no efforts that he gave would turn anybody around. But the Lord says, Jeremiah, all hope is not lost. I want you to go down. But before he said go down, he said, I want you to arise. Because in the darkest places, I'm a God that will still cause you to get up and show you how much grace I have. How much love I have, how much mercy I have for my people. I want you to arise. Get up. Because I'm telling this prophet, I want you to get up from a place of a limited understanding of who I am. Your environment will tell you that you're far gone. Your environment will tell you that you're lost, that you're backslidden, that you're messed up. And you know what God says? You better get up and arise and understand I have no limits on what I can do to anybody. I don't care how far they got away from my love or my grace or my mercy. I don't care how far they turn their back on me. Get yourself up and let me show you the kind of God that I am. Can I give somebody some hope today? I don't care how lost you might think a person might be, a situation might be. Today is your day to arise in faith and know that your God is more than able. If you believe it, clap your hands and say, I believe it. I'm going to arise. I'm going to get up today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Get up from your limited understanding and know your God can do anything. Get up. Get up and go where I'm taking you. I'm going to take you to a place where you can receive a word and understand my process, how I view things, how I see things. The potter's house is a place where the creator of fashion forms its creation. So we see that it goes along with what he said in parallel to the book of beginnings, Genesis. That word formed, I told you to pay attention to, is the Hebrew word yastar, which means through the squeezing into shape, to mold into form. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created he him. Male and female created he them. That word create means to shape, means to form, means to fashion. Jeremiah 1:5, before I, gotta get it. In Genesis, we see how he did it. In Jeremiah, we saw the mind before he did it. Did you catch that? In Genesis, we see the how. In Jeremiah, we see why. You got to get this for your life. You got to get this for a breakthrough. Because you're so temporary and God's eternal. Yeah, I put my hands on you, but there was a thought I had even before I fashioned you in the first place. Before I shaped you. Before I put my hands on you. Before I molded you and you were in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you. I ordained thee a prophet unto nations. There are some people right now, you don't even know how valuable you are. You allowed the world to throw up on you, bash you, and throw you in a trash can. I tell you, all those things are lies. They didn't make you, and nor do they form you or speak into your life. I want to tell everybody here, whether you are listening or paying attention or not, somebody has has to believe I am something special that God has called, ordained, and made. And now I'm getting a vision of what I'm supposed to be. I'm not what the world says I am. I'm not what the negative people say I am. I'm not what they label me. I was formed before I ever was in my mother's womb, and I choose to allow God to make me. I choose to allow God to put me in a process. I choose to be what God has called me to be as we're going to a new year. Is there anybody that says, I'm putting on a new mind and say, I'm walking in what God formed me to be. I'm going to walk. Oh, come on, somebody. I will not repeat the process of past years and past mindsets, but this is a new year where I will be what God ordained me to be. Come on and shout. 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 Grasp your identity. There's something special inside of you. Not that you're trying to earn. Not something you're trying to vaguely reach for. He's saying, can I get you to believe it's already in you? Because when you operate with a mindset that you're trying to grasp it and earn it, you'll always find yourself coming short. But when you read the scripture for what it says, I didn't call myself, I didn't make myself. So the potter is the one that made me. But before he made me, he already said, I fashioned you. I formed you. I sanctified you. I'm not trying to be sanctified. I've already been deemed sanctified. And now I'm going to walk in my calling. I'm going to walk in, come on somebody. I'm going to walk in my anointing. I'm going to walk in my gifting. I'm going to walk in my vessel. I'm going to walk overcoming. I'm going to walk in what God has already said I am. I can pray like never before. I can believe like never before. I can work like never before. I'm called. I'm anointed. I'm designed by God. I have to know the Creator believes the value inside of me. I need to know the Creator wants to bring out what's already in me. That's our challenge. Not to be somebody else, but for God to bring out what He's put in me. Has anybody just feel that? I just want to get out this year what God put inside of me. I just want to be everything that I can't put words. Sometimes I just try to put words. I can't put words on it. I just know I'm chosen. I just know I used to be in the darkness, but now I'm in the light. There's something I can't put my fingers on, but I tell you somebody, it's what you've been birthed for. It's been what you've been created for. It's what you've been formed for. If you believe it, raise your hand and say, Lord, pull it out of me. Pull it out of me. Pull out what's inside of me. Pull out what you created in me. Let me be what you made me to be. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his. You guys got it? Come on, it's word. It's the word. Paul is in agreement with Jeremiah. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Praise God, which God hath before. Everyone shout, before. Ephesians 2:10 says, before ordained that we should walk. Walk. Walk in them. Walk in what I formed you. Walk in what I created you in the mind. Before you were able to crawl, walk in your special purpose. You were fashioned, you were shaped, you were produced for something. He says, walk in what? Walk in good works. Let your good works shine. Let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't cower in order to offend somebody else. If you are offended by my greatness, too bad for you. We need everybody to arise to the best you that you can be. Don't let anybody make you feel bad for you rising up and you doing better and you being productive. The devil is a liar. We need your best you this year. I don't care who's a coward. I don't care who's offended. I don't care who's intimidated. It's the Lord inside of me, and I want our best to come out. Make a difference. You've been created to make a difference. You've been created to bring something to the table. Now, he goes to the potter's house. What does he see? He sees the potter doing the work of what he does. He's working on a wheel. The clay was in a place where it was going to be shaped by the desired design the potter wanted. But this is what he found out. Squeezing into shape. Molding into form. He was on a wheel where it spun and it spun and it spun. His world being turned around and around. Dizziness comes when you turn around and around. Confusion, disorientation happens to you. You don't see everything clearly. You don't walk exactly right when you're being spun around and around and around and around. And things that happen in your life, and you feel like you're in a whirlwind. You feel like you are in tornadic circumstances, and your world is going around. And not only are you being spun around and around and around, while the clay is on that wheel, he's being pressed from every side. Both hands of what he thought was his maker and his creator is pressing on him. I thought you loved me, God. I thought you cared about me, God. Why is there pressings of death and pressings of sickness and pressing of sorrow? Am I talking to anybody? Pressure from everywhere. Pressure in my home. Pressure in my mind. Pressure all around me. Press from my husband. Press from my children. Press from my wife. Press from my health. Press from my kids. Press from my past. Take your hands off me for a moment. Ease up for a moment. And while I'm being spun, and while I'm being pressed, floods of water keeps coming on top of me. Has anybody ever had a near drowning experience before? Sister Barlow knows she has with me. And you're trying to grasp your air. You're trying to get a little bit of life, but yet more water. You keep on gulping more water. And you're being overwhelmed. And there's more being added to your plate that you can't take anymore. Why am I being spun? Why am I being pressed? Why are you throwing water on me? It feels like I'm being drowned. But I tell somebody, you're in the process of the potter. He's making you. He's making you. He's making you. He's making you. Pressure is given with both hands on the inside and the outside. He's not putting pressure just on the outside, but there's internal pressure going on. You know what that hand is? That's the hand of God's Spirit trying to work not only on your outside, but God is saying, I also got to put my hand on the inside. It's areas that people might not be able to see. It's areas of your character that needs to be worked on and worked out. There's some attitude inside of you that needs to be changed. There's some pride on the inside I have to dig out of you. There's some areas that people can't see on the outside that you're hiding, but the hand of the potter goes and will dig on areas and crevices that other people cannot see. But let the potter have his work inside of your heart. Understand, he's not just trying to clean you up on the outside. He's trying to work on some areas of some sicknesses on the inside as well.
I know when it's time to be showcased, you'll see the glimmer and the glamour on the outside. But I can't put you up to be showcased until I deal with some inside stuff. So on the inside, he's working as well. He's working. So conviction's happening to you. Let his spirit have his way. And yield yourself to the hands of the potter. Yield yourself to the hand of the potter. Now, verse 4. I don't understand it at first, God. If we can have that up, Jeremiah 18, verse 4. The vessel that he made of clay was marred. But notice where it was marred. It wasn't marred on the shelf. It wasn't marred out on the ball field. The clay was marred while it was in the hand of the potter. I said, Lord, was this scripture written wrong? How can it be marred in your hands? I thought when we come to church, everything is perfect. I thought if we're in the place where we should be, nothing can turn us around. Nothing can affect us. Nothing can corrode us. But the vessel can be marred while in the hand of the potter. Adam was made of clay. He was in the right place, in the right hands, and he was in the garden. But you still can make your own choice in the middle of God's hand on your life. God does not take his hands off of us, even if we make the wrong decisions. I noticed the reason why the clay could be marred in the hands of the potter. Because he's that kind of a loving God that says, I'm going to put my hands on you and love you. But I also know you can still make your own choices. But when you do, I'm still not taking my hand off of you. You still will go your own way with Ray. You still will make your own bad decisions. But my hand is still going to be on someone. I will not take my hands off of you. I'm the potter. You're the clay. My hand is on your life. And that's why people can fall in church. That's why ministers can fail. No one's exempt. We all can be marred in church. We all can fail in church. We all must take heed to ourselves. We must all give account and recognize that anybody can fail in the house of God. So at the end of the day, sin is what mars the clay. Sin is what mars things. Sin is what gets in the clay and mars it. Fornication and lust is what gets in the clay and mars it. Jealousy mars it. Selfishness mars it. Pride gets in the clay and mars it. Unforgiveness will mar the clay. Drug abuse, living disobedient lifestyle, alcohol are things that get in the way. Sin that gets in the clay. Marred literally means spoiled and ruined. Things can be in the right place and still go bad. Things can be in the right place and still spoiled. The environment can spoil things. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Sitting, things that sit too long in one place get spoiled. Is there anybody ready this year to say, I'm going to get out of my normal seat, my normal mindset? I will not be spoiled. I will not become dingy and dirty. I refuse to stay where I've always been. I'll spoil in this place. But what I am going to do is rise up this year like I never have before, and I'm going to produce something great, because God has not called me to spoil. God has called me to walk in victory. God has called me to make a difference. I refuse to sit there and allow my environment to spoil me. So what? You got messed up. I'm not going to stay where you've been. I'm going to go further in the kingdom of God. Bacteria gets in things and spoils them, allowing evil spirits and evil attitudes to get on you. You must let go of your critical spirit. Nothing is perfect. Let it go. It's okay. It's okay. Because God doesn't need perfection. He needs willing vessels. He says, I don't know how to do it all right, but I'm not going to sit here and be spoiled. I'll go and reach the homeless. It might not be what somebody else can do, but I will do something. I'm not going to sit there and do nothing. I will find my hands working and doing for the kingdom of God. I will make myself available. I will make myself useful. I will be something that God created me to be. Dehydration can spoil things. If you're not getting enough of the water of the Spirit of God in your life, you will become spoiled. How many wants to be rebaptized with the gift of the Holy Ghost? Raise your hands and tell him, I want a refreshing. I want water to flow out of my belly. I speak a word right now upon every individual in this church that we will be hungry and thirsty for the living water, the well to spring up in our soul. We don't want to become dehydrated or religious. We want to have a fresh touch of the Spirit of God. We want a fresh touch, a mixture of the anointing and the strong. We want the water to flow freely in our hearts and our minds. We want more of your Spirit, oh God. We want more of your Spirit, oh God. Now, the thing that is marred can't undo what's been done. The problem here is huge, because the clay cannot fix itself. The clay cannot get the stuff out of itself. The clay is in position to simply be thrown out. The potter can't use it, because when he wants to pour things in it, it's been marred. It can't contain the blessings of God. It can't receive praise, compliments, blessings, or opportunities, because it's been broken. Have you ever ran into somebody, you try to give them a compliment and they can't take it? It's because they've been broken. They don't know how to receive good things, because they've been marred by areas that have broken them. It can't function correctly because relationships has broken them. It can't advance. It can't gain new strategies, because every time you pour something into it, it's been broken, spills out. So we got to catch verse 4 again. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he threw it out. Is that what it says? Does it say you're not good enough, so I got to just remove you out of my kingdom? You didn't line up the way I wanted you to, so I can either get rid of you. Is that what it says? No, we got to catch what it says. So he made it again, another vessel. I know you've been broken. I know you've been marred. I know you can't fix yourself. I know you can't rewind the pages on the portals of history. But guess what? I'm not going to throw you out. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to forget about you. Is there anybody here that's thankful for the potter that says, I'm going to make you again? I had you in my hands. I am not letting you go. You are mine, and the purpose I have for you, I will fulfill it. I know you've been broken, but I'm not going to leave you broken. tired. Why don't you stand on your feet this morning? I'm closing. I'm so glad he made me again another vessel. He had a decision to make. But he says, I'm not going to throw out what's been marred. I'm not going to just get rid of it and start over with a different lump. I'm not going to destroy it because it's been marred. No, I'm going to make it again. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You know what I'm figuring out? As God gives me wisdom, that people who are marred and people who are broken are people who have simply reacted wrong to hurts and pains that have come in their way. And they just didn't know how to deal with it. Every sin, every bad decision, every mistake is based on their limited ability to deal with something that came into their life that hurt them so much. And they didn't know how to handle it. And so they became marred. And they did things that broke them. And there are a lot of regrets that people have. And in that place, most people would think the best thing to do is just throw it out. Forget about it. It cannot be repaired. It could not be made new. But the Lord says, no. I draw nigh unto them that are broken heart. God's not going to allow you to stay broken if you let him work. I want to close your eyes right now. Maybe lift your hands up. He did not give a description of why it was marred. He didn't give a long explanation why it was broken, why it was where it was. And sometimes you don't need an explanation of why you are where you are. You just are where you are. You're sick. You're broken. You're frustrated. He didn't focus on the why. He just said, I'm going to make something out of it anyway. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But he uses the same vessel. Don't let anyone, especially yourself, tell you you're too messed up, too broken, too marred, too spoiled to be in the hand of the potter. He's still making you. He still says you're in my hand. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken heart and he binds up their wounds. Somebody here today. Today is your day for God to heal some wounds. To heal your